All right. Well, good morning, Lifeway. Good morning, Lifeway Live. How are y'all doing today? All right. Well, good. I'm glad you're having a good day. It's a beautiful day outside. Some sunshine. You know, we had those days where the weather was just kind of dreary all day. If it's going to be like that, I like it to rain. If it's going to look rainy outside, it needs to rain. Because if it's just cloudy and all that type of stuff, I don't think I would do a very good job of living in London. Because I think that's the way the weather is quite a bit. Well, we're continuing. Actually, we're finishing up our series today in Daring Faith. And I've heard, and Glenn has heard from several of y'all, how this series has stretched your faith. It has encouraged you to step out and trust God in some areas that maybe you hadn't before. And so that's great. We love hearing that feedback, and we're also thankful that God's Word is still working in people's lives and His leadership to lead us to this series. We are appreciative of what God has done and the fact that He has used this series to do so much in so many people's lives. And so today in our last sermon, we will be challenged to go in faith. So our sermon title is Daring to Go in Faith. Now, the overall message of Jesus when He was here present on the earth can be summed up in two words: come, and then the word go. Come and go. You see, Jesus invites everyone, every single person. The invitation that Jesus has is to come as you are. Isn't that a good thing? Because we don't have to enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ perfect. Because if we had to enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ perfect, we would miserably fail, wouldn't we? Every single last one of us, except for my wife. She would pass that test because she's perfect. Just teasing. But every single one of us, we would fail. And so He says, come as you are. He invites us in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, it says this: come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The invitation is out there for everyone to come to Jesus. Come and see who He is. Come and see this amazing, amazing man who died on the cross for your sins and who's not going to hold anything against you and who's merciful and who's gracious and His love surpasses anything that you can imagine. Come and see. That is His invitation. But then once you have come and seen, once you have a relationship with Christ, He changes that and He gives us a command, and that command is to go. He wants us to go and be who He has made us to be. Now, what has happened when we begin a relationship with Jesus Christ? Here you have the old Kyle. The old Kyle was dead in his sins. Once I begin a relationship with Jesus Christ, I am a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. I'm a new creation. So I am to go as this new creation. I am His workmanship in Christ Jesus, created for good works. And so we come and see, and then He tells us, go and be. Go and be what I have created you to be. James 2 verse 17 says this: so also faith by itself. So, just faith, that's the belief. Belief by itself, if it does not have works or action or going, if it does not have works, is dead. So, faith without actions, faith without going, is dead. So, if your faith has been stretched, but you don't put that into action, you don't go, then what good was it? Wasn't much good, was it? We need to be people who go. In fact, God is in the business of telling people to go. Think about all the different Bible characters. Noah said, go and build an ark. He told Abraham, to go into another country. You have guys like Jacob and Moses and Joseph and Joshua, David, Paul. And this guy's not in the Bible, but Glenn. Glenn, he was told to start a church here in Quero, Texas. And what did Glenn do? He went. He did it. He put action. And God also told a guy like me to move down here to Quero, Texas. And what did I do? I went. I came. Here I am. And He's telling each one of you to go as well. That you have something to do. And so God is in the business of telling us to go, to putting us into action. We'll cover this verse in just a second, but Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20 is the Great Commission. It is our mission statement, and it tells us to go. So, what are we going to do? How are we going to go? Like what's the steps? What are we doing? Well, let's talk about this first one. First and foremost, we will go to God for help. That kind of seems a little odd, you know, to start out with. God is already kind of encouraging us. We're supposed to have daring faith. Why are we going to Him for help? We know that we're supposed to be going. Well, there's a reason we're going for Him for help, and that is this. We cannot do it in our own power. There is no way, because a lot of times what happens is God works in our life and He gets us excited about something, and then we step away and we decide we can do this without Him. And the fact is, we can do nothing without Him. And so the first thing we're going to do is we're going to go to God for help. You see, going means we have to have the proper power to move. What sends your car down the road? Gas. Okay, unless you have one of those electric cars. And then the answer there is electricity that's stored in a battery. But gas. All right, so in order for that car to go, you must put gas in the tank. If you were to put water in that tank, would you be successful in your going? You would not be very successful, and you'd be paying a lot of money for that to be fixed. All right, so it takes the proper fuel. Same thing for us as Christians. We have to be plugged into the proper power source for us to keep on going and living in daring faith. So we go to God for help. Psalm 37, verse 40 says this: "The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in Him." See, that doesn't matter what we're going through, what we're struggling with. We can take that to God for help. Because as it says here, He helps them, He delivers them. Why? Because they take refuge in Him. So instead of trying to find something else as our strength or as our power, what we need to remember is we always must go to God. Psalms 46:1 says this: "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." God is always there to help. And so that's why when we decide that we're going to step out and do something, we go to Him first because He's always there. He's going to help us. He's going to provide the strength that we need. He's going to provide the endurance. He's going to provide the patience that we need. He's going to provide the grace that we need sometimes too, because sometimes when you go, you step out there and you do something, guess what? You mess up, don't you? You may falter. You may do it wrong. Sin may enter into the equation, and so at that point, you need that grace and that mercy and that forgiveness from God. He provides everything that we need. So we're going to go to Him for help. Now, our next one. We're going to go together for support. You cannot do the Christian walk alone. You cannot be the person God wants you to be alone. God did not create Lone Ranger Christians. And you can't find that in the Bible. You can't find a Lone Ranger Christian in God's Word. And did you know that we can accomplish so much more together? We can accomplish a whole lot more together than we can separate, than we can on our own. So we come together for support. We go with each other. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12 says this: And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. So you have this guy who is coming up against this other guy, and you know, that's a one-on-one thing, and this guy may overtake him, but when he's standing there with someone else, it's going to be more difficult. And when it's three people standing there with this guy, it is basically impossible. Why is that? Because we're stronger together. Not alone, not separate. We're stronger together. And that's true as a church, as small groups, as your family. You're stronger together. A husband and a wife and kids all working together will make that marriage stronger, that home stronger. We need each other. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27 says this, "Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit." So there's unity. "With one mind," and listen to this next phrase, "striving side by side." What's it talking about? It means they're shoulder to shoulder. They're standing together. They're united. They are supporting each other together. So they're striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. And we're going to skip ahead to chapter 2. "So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind." So what Paul is telling the church at Philippi is this: you need to be united together for one purpose. And when we are united together for one purpose, much is accomplished. Big things are accomplished. Is our God big? Yes, He is. And He wants to do big things through us as we serve Him. And so as we come together, some awesome things can be accomplished. In fact, I want y'all to see some of the progress from upstairs. Okay, so what can happen when ladies and gentlemen come together? Well, let's take a look at some of these photos. Okay, you kind of have a panoramic of what has been happening up there. So you have a bunch of walls being framed up, and y'all can just kind of cycle through those. And you'll see some. You have Paul trying to drill Ernie's head there. Okay, you got some sheetrock being put up. Also, some cleaning that was taking place. There's a picture. Look at Chris there. Chris, yeah. Good job, Chris. There you go. It looks like Chris was alone on that wall, but then you see how many helpers we had, all right? So you get the wall going up, some more sheetrock. And all this was accomplished not by one person, but I don't know how many we had here yesterday. I'd say probably 15. How many? 14, okay, I guess 15, so I wasn't too far off. And so the reason these things got accomplished is because we came together and we got some of this stuff done. If it was one person up there, this would not have been accomplished. Not in such a short time. We only worked 5 to 6 hours or so steady on getting that put up. Only taking some breaks for some food because we're Baptists and that's what we do, right? And I do want to do a shout out right quick to Asenette Davis. She provided breakfast tacos yesterday morning, and they were delicious. So I appreciate that. And whoever ordered the pizza too for lunch, it was delicious. It was good. But we worked together, and some awesome things got accomplished. Now let me say something. That's just building stuff. This is important. But there are spiritual things that are way more important than a building. And we work together on those things, our children's ministry, our youth ministry, our outreach ministry, all those things. If we work together, much can be accomplished. So we need to not go it alone, but go it together. Our next thing, we are to go on to maturity. We are to go on to maturity. See, we only grow when our faith is stretched and tested. And some of y'all, as through these series and through your own personal reading of God's Word, you have been stretched and you have been tested. And some of y'all are still going through some of those testings. But you're placing your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You're making that decision to say, even though I know that I'm going through things, just like last week's sermon, waiting on God, even though I know that I'm in the middle of this and it's hard, I'm still going to persist. I'm still going to endure. Why? Because I am maturing. I'm growing. I'm getting more. I'm being more like an adult in God's word. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 says this: therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity. You know what is so sad is that a good percentage of people who call themselves Christians today live in the elementary phase of their spiritual development. So when it comes to doing these adult-like things, stretching our faith, going forth with daring faith, it's hard for elementary level Christians to do that. You have to get up out of that to go to middle school, and then the high school, and then to college, and then to the graduate level. And did you know that you never stop maturing if you're here on earth? Never. When you are fully mature, God takes you home. Or, let me say it this way. When you're fully mature, God takes you home. Or, if you've stopped maturing and you won't do it anymore, God can take you home then too. We have to move on to maturity in our life. Grow up. You know, what that means is we don't sit here and we don't complain about things that we did a couple years ago. We don't sit there and nitpick things. No, we come together in unity and we have grace and mercy towards each other. We work together to accomplish the things that God wants us to accomplish. Now, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 through 9, I'm going to start kind of just to give you some background. Peter is writing this and he's writing to these Christians, and he's encouraging them to make their calling and their election sure. And he says this in verse 5. He says, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith or add to your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. And then we get to our verse, and it says this: for if these qualities are yours, means you possess them, and are increasing, meaning that you are maturing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what that means is there are things as Christians that we are to do to mature so that we are not ineffective or unfruitful. Remember the illustration that Jesus used when he walked by and he saw this fig tree and it produced no figs? What did he do to that tree? He cursed it. You see, God doesn't like ineffective, unfruitful Christians. He wants us to be effective for Him, fruitful for Him. That's the way He designed us. Remember, come and see and go and be. Go and do these things. He designed us to be that way. But let's finish this up. Verse 9. For whoever lacks these qualities, the ones that we just talked about in verse 5 through 8, these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind. Have you ever held something up this close and tried to read it? It doesn't work very well, does it? He's so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. You see, the reason we must mature is because if not, we become ineffective, we become unfruitful, and we can even grow so ineffective and so unfruitful that we forget that we are even saved. How sad. How sad of a place to be that Christ died on the cross for your sins and He saved you and you never matured, and so you got to the point where you forgot that He, that you have a relationship with Him. How sad. That's not the way it's supposed to be. That's why we must read God's Word. And when we read God's Word, we must do God's Word. You see, maturing is a process in which we choose to give up control and obey God each and every opportunity. So when you read God's Word and it says that you are to do this, or that you're not to do this, or or we are to pray this way, or whatever it says, you know what we do? We say, yes, Lord, I'll do that. And we obey. And that's this what happens as we mature. So we are to go on to maturity. And our last one is this. We are to go tell the good news. We are to go and tell the good news. What is the good news? The good news is the gospel of Jesus Christ. How He was born of the Virgin, He lived a perfect life, and how He died on the cross for our sins. He was buried, and 3 days later, He rose again. That is the good news, and that is the message that we are to take to this lost and this dying world. We are to tell them the good news, the gospel, also our testimony, what God has done for us. You see, our goal is to use every means and to take every opportunity that we have to tell everyone that we come in contact with about Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this. Have you missed out on some opportunities before? No, I have. You know those sting? Because every opportunity that I miss means that that there may be one more soul in hell because I didn't take that opportunity. And that's serious, isn't it? That's not something to just pass over lightly. Because we have the answer to the world's problem. The world has a sin problem, and we have the remedy, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's our job. He says, go and tell it. He doesn't say, come and sit. Man, I'm glad that we got cushy chairs and the air conditioning seems to be working well. But that's not the command. Come and sit's not the command. He says, go. Romans 10, I'm going to start at verse 9. We don't have that on the screen, but verse 9 says this. It says this, this beautiful message. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. That's the gospel message saying if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, take action, you will be saved. But let's skip over to verse 13 now. And he says, he repeats it. He says this, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Saved. How then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in Him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? By the way, when you see that, someone preaching, it's not talking about Glenn or myself. It's talking about just someone proclaiming the gospel message. That's anybody. Okay, without someone preaching. And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. So let me tell you this right quick. If you share the gospel with Jesus Christ, your feet are beautiful. And it doesn't matter how callous they are, how rough they are, your feet are beautiful. Why? Because you're sharing the good news. You see, how are they going to hear unless we tell them? And guess what? We're the ones that are sent. Go ye therefore. Luke chapter 9, verse 60 through 62. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. And yet another said, I will follow you, Lord. But let me first say farewell to those at my home. What he's doing, this language is called hyperbole. He's kind of exaggerating the point. He says this in verse 62. Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Saying, you know what? If we're saved, we need to go forth with all of our effort. We need to go and complete our mission. And that's Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. It says, go therefore and make, therefore is because He has all power. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. And if you have a Bible, circle the all in this, okay? Of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And verse 20, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you. I guess you could do the always too. Always, even to the end of the age. That is our mission. That's what God wants us to do. And that's why he says, go. Go. Proclaim the good news. Tell everyone of the good news. Why? So that we could make heaven more crowded. I want heaven to be so crowded that we have traffic jams on those golden streets, okay? So that we have to, you know, inch by each other. Why is that? Because that means more people have a relationship with Jesus Christ and they're not separated from Him in eternity in a place called hell. That's why we exist. That's why He says, go. Because this message is what the world needs. Does it take daring faith to take that message? Yes, it does. Sometimes it's scary. Sometimes you don't know what you're going to be told. Sometimes we fear rejection. But remember, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting Him. So we are to go and tell the good news. We're to go to God for help. We're to go together for support, and we're to go on to maturity. So what are some specific ways that we will go in faith? What are some things that here at Lifeway we can do? Well, y'all have got your Daring Faith Covenants, I think, and we'll talk about those here in just a second. But one of the things on our Daring Faith Covenant, Glenn, if you will come on up, is that we want to see our attendance here at Lifeway Church average 350 in the next 2 years. Now, is it just about numbers? No, it's not just so we can wave a flag and we can say, hey, look, we have 350 in service. No, what that means is that means people are here, they are hearing the gospel, and they hopefully have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That means that we're accomplishing our goal of making heaven more crowded. Amen. That's why we shoot for that. And once we pass that, guess what it will be next? It will be like 500, 1,000, whatever it may be. Why? We exist to make heaven more crowded. We're also asking each person to commit over the next 2 years. 2 years is a long time, isn't it? To lead just one person to Christ. Just one person. Let's do some math right quick. If every member of Lifeway led one person to Christ and those people actually came to Lifeway, how much would we increase our attendance by? 100%.
Four services. We'd have four services.
100%. There we go. Four services.
Band gets to play four times.
There you go. Awesome. So those are some of the things that we that's our goal. That's what we want to do. Now, Glenn's going to tell you kind of how we're going to accomplish some of those things.
Yeah, one of the other things we want to see is we want to see 10 new small groups started. So if you would, we mailed you the Daring Faith Covenant. And I know everyone faithfully brought it back with you. But for the one or two of you that didn't, reach under the chair in front of you. Reach under the chair in front of you.
If you're in the front row, just reach underneath you.
Yeah. And so if you would, we're going to ask each person, each adult, to fill one of these out. Okay? So for example, mine, I checked the box. I'm going to be regular and faithful in attendance. I'm making that commitment. Because here's our covenant. It says, in gratitude for all that Christ has done for me, and out of a deep desire to grow my faith in obedience to Christ's command, that I store up treasures in heaven, I make a covenant today with my brothers and sisters of Lifeway Church to use the next 2 years to develop my time, my talent, and my treasure by serving God, by serving others. You cannot serve God until you serve others. Listen, it's impossible. You say, oh, I'm serving God. No, when you're here on Sunday morning, you're worshiping, but you're not serving. This is worship. Now, there are people that are sitting here that are worshiping, but they've also been serving. So it says that I'm going to commit to serving. It says, and I'm asking God to give me the privilege of bringing one person to Jesus in the next 2 years, seeing them baptized and become part of our family fellowship. And I know I cannot do this under my own power, but I'll trust God in daring faith to see that happen. So we're going to ask each one of you, we're going to give you a minute to fill that out. If you didn't already bring yours filled out, there's pins in the seats in front of you. So if each one of our members would fill that out, we're just asking you, for example, mine is checked, regular and faithful attendance, because I have to be here, I'm the pastor. And then inviting my family and friends to church, almost every friend I have is here, okay? And then I check the box. I'm praying and trusting to bring one person to Christ. My goal is to bring one person to Christ if God will let me. I'd like to do that once a week. Because I'm going to tell you something. We live in a society full of addiction. And I'm going to tell you the greatest addiction you can ever have. And until you've experienced this, I can't explain it. But the first time you tell somebody your story, you're like, hey, look, I know you're messed up. And, you know, I was kind of messed up like you, or I was messed up. But here's my story. Here's what my life was like. And then I met Jesus and committed my life to him. And I'm going to tell you right now, man, if you do that, he's going to come in and help you. He's not going to change all of your situations, but he's going to be there to lead, guide, and direct you. And I can tell you, that's where I was. Then I accepted Christ, and now here's where I am today. And I'm way further down the road than I was then, but it's because of Christ. And then I was surrounded by people that love Christ, and they love me. I'm now part of a family that I can't imagine what I could do without it now. See, you share your story. And when that person says, man, I really want that. And then you say, well, hey, all you have to do is believe in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead. Believe that he's real. And all you have to do is just say, God, I'm sorry. God, forgive me. Jesus, I surrender. Jesus, save me. Come into my life. When that person does that in front of you, amen, and you're standing there when someone's eternal destiny has changed, I don't know about you, I got hooked. And I'm like, I'm no longer afraid to share my testimony with anybody. I will hold you down and tell you. You know, because that makes it all worth it. For me as a pastor, all of everything is worth it. When you see somebody accept Christ, and then Kyle and I, and some of you have the opportunity, we've seen these people grow, haven't we? Yeah. We've seen them come in, and they went from sitting here to accepting Christ, and now they're serving, and they're hungry, and they want to do more. That's the icing on the cake for us, guys. The other thing that Erica and I checked, because on the front of the page, you know, like, we would like to start some services in some nursing homes, maybe at the jail, at the assisted living facilities. I mean, a regular service, but we need our membership to help us do it. But the box that Eric and I check where it says assisting in 10 new small groups, we would like to see 10 new small groups in the next 2 years. DJ wants to see 20. DJ is our, amen, small group coordinator. She wants to see 20. Yep. So Eric and I are doing our part. I checked the box and I'm willing to be trained to lead a new small group. Actually, Eric and I are leading a new small group, and right now we have one family, I think, that is committed to being in it. So on my form, I put down, I'm willing to lead a small group. Erica checked, I'm going to be in a new small group, and at least one couple is going to check, I'm going to be in a new small group. See what I'm saying? And then maybe you'd like to start serving in ministry or youth ministry. Or serving in the AV ministry, but we'd ask each one of you adults to fill this out and put your name and everything on the back of it. And if you would take those two, and there is an envelope in the seat in front of you that looks like this. If you would take those after you fill them out, and we were asking all of our members to pray about and bring a cash offering to give Daring Faith a boost. Did you tell them we're broke? I didn't know how encouraging that would be. You know, we've had a lot of offerings towards Daring Faith. Yeah. But if you walk upstairs, we've got sheetrock stacked this high and lumber stacked this high. And I don't know if you know how much that stuff costs today, but we're thinking about posting guards.
Yeah.
And so we have spent everything we've had in the Daring Faith. If you go upstairs, you'll see it. Kyle was just saying, hey, you know, we need to pour that concrete upstairs. We got to get those bathrooms started. And so that's one of the reasons we ask each one of our families to decide on a cash offering. So I'm asking that you would take this envelope. Each of you would put your covenant in it that is signed. And if you brought a cash offering for Daring Faith, put it in that envelope and seal it up. Okay? And then we also ask you to bring your card, your commitment card. And this is mine and Erica's. We've committed to how much was in our offering this morning, and we've also committed to increasing our giving every month above and beyond what we already do. We made that commitment. As a matter of fact, Eric and I didn't make that decision until this morning because we've been thinking about it, praying about it, thinking about it, praying about it, and I told her, let's don't even discuss numbers. let's just keep praying. And let's just keep praying. And then this morning, right before she had to be here for band practice, I said, hey, we got to come up with a number. She says, what do you think? And I said, no, you first. I know you're not going to believe this, but we both had come up with the same number of how much we're going to increase our giving. And I was like, oh, I'm so relieved. because I told her, I said, you'd look funny in a waitress outfit and me delivering pizzas. So here's what we're going to do in just a moment. We're going to ask, and actually Kyle and Lauren are going to go first, because what do leaders do? They lead. So Kyle and a couple of our elders that are in this service, and then some of our deacons that are here, after Kyle prays for us, and we're going to give you a minute to fill all this out. And if you're ready, we're going to ask you during the time of invitation to follow the example of the people you see standing here. Your offering envelope gets dropped in that basket. Your commitment card gets dropped in this basket. If you would come around this way to do it. So this has always been way more than about money. This has been about the daring faith that it takes to grow our church and for you to stretch your faith, not just in giving. Once you've learned to give faithfully, that becomes the easiest thing in the Christian walk, doesn't it? It's the other stuff that becomes the struggle. And so we're praying that each one of us is going to stretch our faith, stretch our giving, and stretch our service. Because I promise you, God's not going to double our attendance till we double the number of people serving. He's not going to give us those to minister to if we can't minister to them. And there's something about Lifeway that I've seen over the last 24 years. God doesn't give us anything until we've prayed, prepared, and planned for it. So that means we have to start now. And if just one of you checks a box to serve in a ministry for the next 2 years, and here's what I want to say about serving for the next 2 years. We're going to start something that we used to do a long time ago. We're going to have a commitment sheet. And here's what we're asking. If you would commit to serving in ministry, maybe in the hospitality ministry, maybe in teaching or something, we're going to ask you to volunteer to serve for 4 months out of the year. That's it. If you would serve 4 months out of the year, then we will not ask you for any other commitment the rest of the year, unless it's Mother's Day, Easter, or Christmas. Then it's all hands on deck. Yeah. See what I'm saying? So, you know, with some churches, when they ask you to serve, they never ask you to stop. And if you do quit, they look down and like, why aren't you in there? So it's hard to get out of it. And people are deathly afraid of commitments today, aren't they?
That's right. Yeah.
Some of you might be struggling with a commitment to Christ right now. I'm going to tell you something. You can check every box on this sheet, unless you know Jesus as your Savior. It does not change your eternal destiny. You cannot work your way there. And so I pray right now that after this prayer, and as people are coming forward to drop off their envelopes and their commitment cards, if you need to talk about Jesus, Kyle and I will be standing right up here. But before you leave, the most important decision you'll ever make doesn't go in those baskets. It happens in your heart. Do you know Christ? Then you have the desire to serve. Then everything starts putting itself in its right place. Kyle's going to pray for us now.
Father, we come before you, and we ask that you would please use your word. We know that you have promised that it would not return in vain or void or empty. And so we just ask that you would use your word today and throughout all these messages to encourage us, to strengthen us. Lord, today, the challenge that's been made, that we will go in faith to our family, to our friends, to our coworkers, to our neighbors, to anyone that you put in front of us, that we will go in faith and take this message of the gospel to them. Lord, it's our desire to see people saved, not lost and on their way to hell. So please change our hearts. Do what you do best, God, to put us in the place to take advantage of every opportunity. Lord, when we fail, when we mess up, I pray that I know that you'll have that grace and the mercy that we need, and that you'll encourage us and we'll get back up and we'll keep going, because that's what you've told us to do. You said, come and see. Come and taste of my goodness. Now that you've tasted of my goodness, go and be what I've made you to be. And Lord, please use us. Please help us to go for your honor and for your glory. To take care of any decision, whether it's trusting you for salvation, stepping out and serving more, stepping up and doing what you're called them to do, or going and talking to their friends. I pray and ask that they would make that decision and come forward and talk to someone if they have any questions. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.